There's a lot of confusion out there right now about what a nanobot is. Because you go on the internet and research nanobot, and all you get are these glowing stories of the future of medicine and how nanobots are going to save our immune systems or whatever. Can you tell us more about what a nanobot is?
It's kind of a easy term to use about the nanotechnology. So on a microscopic level, for some time now, we've been able to create synthetic, we call it life. It's it's more computer, it's more artificial intelligence, it has all these abilities. And it doesn't seem like we could possibly do it, but we can. So this is almost like it's a synthetic structure that can act like a miniature robot, and we can do this. And it's so, what's happened is that our knowledge and technology has gone light years, and we, the common people, have not been told about this. And so now we're really seeing what we can do with these new vaccines, these injections, although they're not being forthright and honest with everybody about exactly what's in it or with the other medical professionals. So, with the scientific and business meetings I went to, I was introduced to what we can do with this technology. So it's why I know more about it. And you have to learn how to search on the internet with certain keywords, because we don't really have libraries anymore, just that. But I can tell you it's very, very difficult. And key research papers are hidden or buried, very hard to find anymore. So what that tells me is that people that control the internet or have influence over it control how you see history. They control how you see the world. They control what science is or what's going on. They control ultimately your reality in a way, which is a very dangerous and scary thing. But anyway, you can search out these different things to find them. I was introduced to this idea in medical school by a professor, microbiology professor, who happened to work with the military. And she showed us electron microscopy pictures of a neurotoxin from an evolved bacteria. And I almost fell over, our whole class did, because it was a robotic structure that was tinier than a cell. And that was beyond our comprehension, because we didn't have cell phones back then. And I didn't even know how to really process that until recently. And so now, if you look, and there's different video clips, you'll see people talk about DNA nanobots. Pfizer has bought into it. They work with nanobots and how they can go in and they can assemble and disassemble and reassemble. They carry payloads. They can do all kinds of things. And Boris Johnson has said in the near future, all of us will have nanobots that they will be an armada, he says, inside of our body, and they can fix a broken tendon or look at a tumor and kill it immediately. That sounds great. But then he also said in the same breath that no thought will ever be private anymore, because these nanobots will also be accumulating data in some form, and that they'll be transmitting that data to a central server, a supercomputer. And everything will be known, every thought, every emotion forever, that you can't hide, you won't have privacy. And he even said that because it's this two-way communication that, you know, even your Alexa can give you commands. People really are talking about this. So here we are, we have some technology that could be used for good. You know, yeah, we could repair things in the body, beautiful. But in the same breath, that person says, but we have a plan to use it for other things too. Surveillance, loss of privacy, control. And he's not the only one. Many times I went to meetings where this was talked about, for using this that could be used for good, for the enjoyment or the power of a small group of people. So this is why we have to educate ourselves and understand who's behind these agendas, what their motive is, and then understand about these technologies themselves.
These are the legs of a tiny army of robots. So small, they are dwarfed by a single-celled paramecium. 50 years of development in microelectronics have given us a fantastic array of tiny computer systems. But that is only half the puzzle. A robot also needs to move, And now, researchers have created a brand new type of actuator which can do it, giving the tiny brains some brawn. Up until now, making moving parts at the micron scale has proven tricky. Conventional designs often don't function very well when they're that small, while others work, but rely on mechanisms like magnetism which can't be easily integrated into existing electronic systems. But the new design, called a surface electrochemical actuator, can be fabricated using similar processes to those used to produce microchips. That means the tiny legs can be added directly to the devices that control them. To make the legs, a 7 nanometer thick sheet of platinum is coated on one side with an inactive material like graphene. The legs are then patterned using a technique called lithography, and the excess material is removed. In order to work, the legs need to be in water, but the concept is relatively simple. When a current is passed through the platinum, charged water particles are attracted to the uncoated surface. The force of these particles binding to the metal creates stress on one side of the sheet, and that is what makes it bend. By reinforcing sections of the sheet, the bending can be controlled more specifically. And voila, a tiny robot leg. The robots are equipped with two minuscule solar cells. By shining a laser on each one, researchers can create the voltage which activates the front or back legs. These new actuators allow the tiny circuit to move, and because they are created using the same well-understood manufacturing processes as semiconductor electronics, their production can be easily scaled, making millions of tiny robots at the same time. Swarms of robots so small that they can be injected through a hypodermic syringe, and collected using a pipette. Now, at the moment, they can't do much, but their compatibility with existing microelectronics makes them versatile. In theory, new actuators based on these designs could be combined with more complex devices to carry out a whole range of more sophisticated tasks. The researchers have pointed to everything from fighting cancer to tackling crop pests. But that is decades away. Time will tell if these first small steps for micro-robots could be a giant leap for micro-robotics.